Good morning, church, and welcome to the Australian Bush. I decided to get out in the bush today because it's pretty easy to get in social distancing while you're out here. Although I think the Mozzies know where I am, and I did have a mountain biker come through just a moment ago, and I bet he was wondering what we were up to. Well, anyway, welcome to the Australian Bush. For the sake of today's message, let's just call this the wilderness. This is the wilderness. Now, if you were to look through the Bible, you would find that the word wilderness is mentioned many, many, many times in many different situations. Matter of fact, the word wilderness is mentioned 900 times in the Bible, so it fits a lot of situations. So today, we're going to begin at the beginning of the Bible, and we're going to walk our way through it, and we're just going to see how we can find God in the wilderness. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for a chance to bring a message today. Thank you for the idea. Father, I pray that you would be with our people in their homes or wherever they are. And I pray that you would use this to encourage them in these very, very unusual times. And Father, I pray for being out here in the bush that the sun would be right and we wouldn't have too many bikers come through, and that the technology will work like it's supposed to. But Father, I pray most of all that you would be glorified in everything that we do. So let's go to the scriptures. We go to the book of Genesis. We right away see one man that takes a preeminence in the Old Testament. His name is Abraham. You probably remember the story where God told Abraham to pack up the family and move everybody from his hometown into the wilderness. Now, the wilderness in his day was quite different than ours. The wilderness then was scary. It was packed full of suspense. A lot of people thought they were ghosts and wild animals and animals that had never been seen out there. And although we know differently, Abraham didn't know that. But he packed up the family and he went on into the wilderness, just like God had asked him to do. And then it's not long as we continue through the Old Testament that we run into another man by the name of Moses. We know his story, how his mom protected him and put him in the ark, and he went down the river into Pharaoh's house. And Moses grew and he got stronger and he became what's commonly known as a prince in Egypt. And then one day he saw some Jews fighting and he told them to stop fighting. What are they doing that for? And then he saw an Egyptian one time that was hitting a Jew, and Moses just killed him and buried him in the sand and thought he wouldn't be found out. The only trouble is Pharaoh found out. He took off after Moses, and Moses took off. And you know where he went? He went into the wilderness. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. And then a little bit further on in the Old Testament, we find that God's chosen people, when they eventually left Israel, or they left Egypt, they went right into the wilderness. And they spent a lot of time in the wilderness. So God leads his chosen people from comfort, safety, and plenty of food into the wilderness. Something about this wilderness thing. And then we can find Elijah the prophet. Elijah, that great prophet that defeated the prophets of Baal. And you know the story. It was a magnificent event. And then shortly thereafter, Jezebel got upset and she said, I'm going to kill Elijah. The next thing you know, Elijah takes off and he goes into the wilderness and he sits under a tree and God takes care of him there. But while he was there, he learned some things. So the wilderness is very prominent in the Old Testament. But let's move over into the New Testament for a few moments. If you look at the life of Jesus, he was constantly going off into the bush and then coming back, going back into the wilderness and coming back. So it's something that was preeminent in his mind, something that he would do all the time. After that, we find the Apostle Paul. And one time he was on the road to Damascus. He was known as Saul at that time. And God got his attention there. And the next thing we hear, Saul, whom we now know as Paul, went into Arabia for 3 years. Now, we don't know much about his trip into Arabia, but I'm just going to make a big assumption that he probably spent a lot of time in the Arabian wilderness. It seems to be a pattern in the scripture. But while these people were in the wilderness, the question I want to ask today, where is God in the wilderness? Where is God in the wilderness? Well, for Abraham, he packed up his family, went into the wilderness. It was a very, very long story, but he ended up getting a family where his descendants were as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. So God blessed Abraham immensely while he was in the wilderness. So God showed up for Abraham. And Elijah, when Elijah went off and he laid down next to the tree, God took care of him. He fed him. He gave him water. He allowed him to relax in a very difficult and busy time of his life. And that's exactly what Elijah needed. But there's something else that Elijah found while he was in the wilderness. There was a time that a storm came through, an earthquake came through, the fires came through, and God was not in any of those. And then Elijah heard the still, small voice of the Lord, and he found God. So God can be found in the wilderness when the hustle bustle of society is slowing down. Everybody is getting still. Kind of the way we are now. And then God can speak to us. That's something to keep in mind. Well, for Jesus, when Jesus went into the wilderness, well, let's just go back. When Jesus was baptized, that was a highlight of his ministry. And one of the first things that God, Scripture says the Holy Spirit led him to do, was to go into the wilderness. And he spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. I'm sure it was quiet. I'm sure it was lonely. I'm sure it was difficult. But whenever Jesus came out of the wilderness, he came out with power. So what can we learn from all of this? It seems like that God requires a wilderness experience before he can use you and me. Now, I know we don't like to talk about that. We like for things to be really, really good for us all the time. And we think that's where we want to be. But God uses the wilderness in a much greater way than he does the blessings. It's a little back to front from the way we think. It's in the wilderness where we can empty ourselves and we can start leaning on him. And remember, as Elijah learned, the still small voice of God can be heard in the wilderness. I heard one man say, if you've never been broken, you have no ministry. So if you've never gone through a wilderness experience that will even break you and squeeze you, you may not have a ministry. So keep that in mind. So the truth is, our wilderness experiences are good for us. Again, we probably are not going to like them. We don't have to. But that is the greatest opportunity to learn about God when we're in the wilderness. Let's talk about a current situation. Many think this lockdown experience is a real wilderness experience, and I know that it really is for a lot of people, and it'll probably get worse as we continue to stay in place in our homes. But you know what? I've got this feeling. Maybe God is trying to prepare us for something. I honestly believe that God is pushing us out of our comfort zone into a place that He wants us to be. Well, what is that place? I don't know. You see, if we'll ask God, He'll tell us eventually. But I think He's going to use this for His glory, which He often does down through history. As God's people go through difficult times, then God uses that for His glory to teach and to train and to strengthen His people. So we are in the midst of an opportunity to grow in our spiritual life. But I know that wilderness experiences can be hard. A couple of Old Testament examples. Daniel. Daniel was at a pinnacle. God was using him in a wonderful way. He had the favor of the king. And then all of a sudden, the king made a rule that nobody can pray to anybody but him for the next 30 days. Well, Daniel didn't have a bar of that. He was going to pray three times to his God. And guess what? He was found out. They took Daniel and they threw him into a den of lions. Now, that's not easy. I'm sure Daniel was scared. Yes, he was trusting God, but I'm sure humanly he was scared. When Daniel landed in the lion's den, I think the Lord turned the lions into pussycats because not a thing happened. And because God's man was faithful to Daniel, faithful to him, God so impressed that king that he started proclaiming Daniel's God, the God of the universe. There's some other people that's gone through difficult times. How about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And you know what? When they went in, you know their story. The king set up this big image, and everybody was supposed to bow down to it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're going to serve our God. We're not going to bow down to this image. I don't care what happens, even if it costs us our life, we're not going to bow down. The king got so upset, he made the furnace hotter than it had ever been before. Even the strong men that was used to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, they died because it was so hot. And they threw them in expecting them to be annihilated. And then the king looks in and he sees four people walking around. And he knew immediately who that was. Because God's people stayed faithful to God in the wilderness experience, God was honored throughout the whole world. Could it be? Could it just be that if we'll stay faithful during this wilderness experience, then God can make us and break us if necessary and mold us into what He wants us to be? Could it just be that we'll be better as a result of what we're going through? God can do that. I'm certain of it. But as we go through this, maybe you're getting a little bit discouraged. Maybe you're having a hard time. I just want to encourage you a little bit from a man who had a hard time. I want you to go with me to Lamentations chapter 3. We know Jeremiah was the writer of this. Let me read you the situation that he described. Speaking of God, he said, He has led me and made me walk in the darkness and not in light. Surely He has turned His hand against me time and time again throughout the day. Then he says, He has aged my flesh and my skin. Then he says, He has set me in a dark place like the dead of long ago. Then he continues that He has hedged me in and I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, He shuts out my prayer. He has made me desolate in speaking to God, you have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was in a tough place. It was hard. But even in this very, very difficult place that you and I will probably never see, Jeremiah began to think. And this is what he said. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. So even in a very, very difficult time, Jeremiah chose to put his faith and confidence in God. And you know what? I think if we'll do that, God will rescue you. He'll lift us up. Yes, he will turn us into what he wants us to be. But he'll look after us. And he'll rescue us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this chance to share your word today. I pray that you encourage our people wherever they are, whatever they're doing. Father, I pray that you use this time that we're all going through for your glory and your glory alone. Only you can do that. And we will trust you that that's what you'll do. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just remember, he will rescue us.